Hey friends, I'm Jenny Meyer, and you're listening to the Rooted Truth Podcast, where we look at the world through a biblical lens. We talk about real life, biblical truth, and how to walk with Jesus through it all. Be sure to follow me on social at Jenny Meyer and at The Rooted Truth. Also, be sure to subscribe to the members-only, all-exclusive episodes on the Rooted Truth Podcast by going to www.therootedtruth.com. Now let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have with me my friend JT from JT Follows JC on social media, and we're really excited today to talk about the brand new movie that him and Brian from Demon Erasers have just put out, Ancient Angels. And we're going to kind of talk about this and just the gist behind it of what you guys all love, Genesis 6, conspiracy, quote unquote, right? The Nephilim, fallen angels, and hybrid beings. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. So welcome back, JT.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me back on. We were saying it's been a long time since we've done, I've been on your podcast, you've been on mine.
Yeah.
I said, my hair was probably really short the last time we talked on Zoom.
That's funny. I think it was. So, congratulations on getting this movie out, Ancient Angels. It's a two-part documentary, and it's excellent. I watched it over the last couple of days. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it was one of these things where I think just kind of before I even kind of woke up spiritually, I sort of liked the Ancient Alien show. I never took it too seriously, but I did always like when they presented the megaliths and stuff, because I think a lot of people don't really understand why people say, I think aliens built the pyramids, because I don't think most people have put much thought into it, because it's kind of almost like, well, that shape looks easy to build. I guess they would just kind of stack them up until it looks like a triangle. That doesn't seem, but then when you actually see somebody standing next to the blocks and you're like, wait a minute, those things are pretty big. And then they say there's like 2 million of them. And they weigh 2.5 tons each. And then you're like, well, supposedly they did this, what, like 4,500 years ago is what the mainstream's trying to say. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so, and then you find out there's a lot more things just like that. And some of them even kind of more impressive. Like, how did they do any of this stuff? And so, like, I enjoyed that kind of like just the mystery of it. Oh, that's weird. And of course, like I said, I didn't really buy the aliens thing. And it wasn't till I woke up and kind of discovered the Genesis 6, the sons of God, you know, the Nephilim, giants. And you're like, okay, well, I thought that's kind of an interesting part of the Bible, but I didn't realize how significant it was. And then I started to think, wait a minute, if there was this big flood that everybody talked about, all these peoples around the whole world talked about, all these mythologies about floods, giants, and in the time when the gods were living amongst the men, I was like, well, maybe this is why nobody knows how they built these things. Mm-hmm. You know, is it possible that there's really no written record of it because everybody said there was a giant flood? Yeah. And then so it's a giant conspiracy. It's a giant mystery on how they were created, because these people say giants did it. The Bible talks about giants. The Bible talks about when gods lived amongst the people. And now you're like, okay, so that when I finally figured that kind of thing out, I went down the rabbit hole and I'm like, wow, this actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And the thing is I think, I mean, speaking for myself, the whole Genesis 6 thing didn't make sense to me until three years ago, to where, and I grew up Christian. I know you did too. So you've read the Bible, mm-hmm. right? You've read this,
yeah.
But the fact that we aren't taught on it, we aren't taught about, hey, what are the sons of God here that it talks about in Genesis 6? And so digging in, I think you and I have a very similar story in that case, where we're both like kind of woke up about the same time with this story of, okay, where did these giants come from? Who are the sons of God? And digging into that. And so I'm really glad that you guys are talking about it and getting this movie out there, Ancient Angels. What brought you together, you and Brian from Demon Erasers, to do something like this?
Well, it was interesting, because I think when he first got on TikTok, I was impressed with the quality of his videos. He kind of had this professional look. And I was like, So I had a bunch of people, a bunch of my friends sharing his videos to me. And eventually I followed him and I recognized he was following me. And I'm like, of course, I'm like, oh, hey, bro, I love your videos.
Yeah.
And we kept a little rapport back and forth. And eventually he's like, I think God is telling me that we're going to do something together. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, like I said, impressed with the production quality. I was the guy who was sitting on my couch, you know, like not that long before that, just saying it's about damn time and like no production, just, you know, yeah. And obviously figuring out as I go. And then here comes Demon Racers, Brian, and he's got this look. And then he's like, okay, here's what we got to do. And then he had this opportunity. Actually, well, Brian actually did a movie like probably a year ago. And I guess he had somebody else produce it. And I was like, it's on Amazon. Believe it or not, it's about reptilians. I'll let him tell you about that. But it's funny because he was supposed to do a movie and he's like, I don't really believe in reptilians. And the guy's like, I don't care, just be in it anyways. Huh. And of course, that's basically when he starts talking about Genesis 6. And he starts talking about hybrid beings and demons and angels and everything. And I had an idea a while back about ancient angels, because I thought that, for one, I thought the title, yep, you know, was obviously catchy because of the ancient aliens. And when I, at one point, he was going on like a big YouTube channel, and I suggested, I was like, you know what, Brian, you need to have something to sell when you go in there. And I was like, you have like a book or a movie or something. And I was like, we should just make a movie. And he's like, we should. And it was funny because we tried to rush it out like in February. That's why we kept on saying it was going to be out in 2 weeks. And then the podcast he was going to be on kept on getting pushed back. And then Brian and I kind of had little creative differences. I think that's the tough part when you are, you know, try to be creative and you have a vision of these things.
Yeah.
And so there was like, we're going to reshoot it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And eventually we smoothed out our differences and we kind of came up with the final product. But, you know, I guess it's a lot different making like a 90-second or 60-second TikTok versus making a whole movie, and like how much more like nervous I was to like try to, like, you know, it's so funny. I've talked in front of my phone all the time, but like sitting down almost like in a interview style was something.
Yeah. I mean, it was really well done. Like I said before, we got on to record this. I loved it. I thought the production was great for just two guys, you know, putting this together. And obviously the content, it's needed out there because people are searching for answers right now. And I love, and I know this is like both of your hearts, because I've talked to Brian before as well, but pointing everything back to the Bible, back to Jesus, you know, this is the truth. Mm-hmm. And it explains so much of what is going on in our world today. Did you have any like big like ahas when you were like working on content for this film?
Well, it's kind of funny because almost as soon as we started to work on the project, it was like, we always like think like, well, we can obviously not fit it all in one movie. Like that would be impossible. So then we were kind of like, believe it or not, we kind of had a overview that we went with, but it was almost like since then I've learned so many things that I hate to say that I've been holding back, because we're going to, you know, Lord willing, we're going to make more.
Yep.
And it might turn into like a series. And so that's the thing. It's like when you realize that Genesis 6 is not this just little sideshow in the Bible. It's like, it's a really important foundational knowledge to know about like the world you live in. You know, I think that's what we kind of get into about like our true history has been hidden from us, you know? And it's like, it's hidden on purpose. It's not that people just forgot. It's been hidden. And so that's why, like, they don't teach us this in church, because the pastors have been taught this doesn't mean this, even though we know it does now. And so I think that what it comes down to is like, there's so many things I want to say else. And like I said, I hate to say that I'm gonna have to save some of that stuff, but it really is just like, it's just more confirmation of the things the vision we had. And also one of the revelations too was like that I feel like we were timely, or, you know, obviously God's timely with this, in the fact that, okay, so people think Ancient Aliens is just kind of this goofy, innocent show. But when you really think about it, they're trying to basically rewrite history, basically write back into history aliens. And if you think about it, so if they are trying to say that aliens are the ones who help build man, you know, man build all these structures, help man basically evolve into, you know, a higher being, Well, isn't it interesting how there's all the alien news, all the stuff about aliens now. Yeah. And so if you think about it, it's almost like they're setting the stage for, obviously, I'm sure you saw that goofy little thing about alien. Did you see the stuff going around about the aliens from Mexico?
In Mexico,
today?
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like a little E.T. in these little coffins. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I don't know how serious to take that, but I know that obviously we're getting inundated with this stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's a coincidence that they're talking about aliens. And now, like I said, I don't know if you did a poll around America, like how many people believe in aliens now.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's over 50%. And I bet you 10 years ago, it'd probably be like 20%.
Yep.
So like the needle's been massively moved. And I do believe that an end time deception is possibly involving aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, again, so they call them aliens, just like Aleister Crowley said, now we call them demons and angels. One day they're going to call them something else. Well, I guess that's it. We're here. Yep. That day is here where now we call them aliens.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I know this question will come up. What do you think aliens are? Because there are people that say they're just demons. There are people that say, of course, they're from other planets. Like they're actual like beings like from other planets, which I don't hold to. And then some people say they are hybrid, like some sort of hybrid demonic creature, but a little bit different than demons. That makes sense.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I always like to preface this and say, if you go to Job 38:7, it says the sons of God shouted for joy when God laid the foundations of the earth. So if without saying it directly, the angels were here before the earth was.
Yeah.
So I always say, like, you know, so technically they're not from earth. So angels technically are aliens in the very definition of it. Yeah. Now, I know we're not talking about E.T. and those little weird things in the coffin we saw today in Mexico, but they're not from here.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that they are alien beings. They are from the heavens. And like I said, I don't believe in, it's funny as we talked, you know, offline before, I don't believe in outer space anymore. I believe in the heavens. And I know that I know they came down from someplace.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about like gray aliens and insectoids and all these weird things, I guess I really can't really say anything about it other than I don't really know anything of that. I can't speak on that. I do know that most alien encounters, especially when you hear about people saying I was abducted by aliens, they sound very demonic. It's almost like, I don't know how real that is. I know they perceive it to be real, but I really think that when you think about when some of these things start with sleep paralysis, typically you have people mess around with the occult, and then they have these weird stories where people lose time. They wake up different places. They've been sometimes sexually violated in some cases. Is it possible that they just were basically demon? They were encountering demons. They were possessed at some point and they don't remember what happened. You know, so like, was it actual beings that showed up in the room, or was it, they were gone? Like, obviously they went bye-bye.
Yeah.
And a demon used them as a puppet for a certain amount of time. And I think that seems very likely to me in a lot of cases. Now you get into the weird, is it possible that through some kind of science and some kind of obviously witchcraft, they're making some kind of skin suits for demons? Obviously deceased Nephilim are unclean spirits. They have no bodies. Is it possible that through, like, obviously these wicked men, have they tried to make skin suits for these things? And is that possibly what they are? All I can really say is I could believe that maybe, but obviously I don't really have any real evidence of that. So
yeah.
I've heard that theory, and I think it's interesting for sure.
It is interesting because, I mean, I can't pinpoint like a cartoon that I've seen it in, but I know that there are cartoons where like they like peel off the suit, right? And they're like either a reptilian or some demonic looking creature or alien. Yeah. I mean, I don't know either. I think I'm past the point of thinking that aliens are just demons, because we know that demons are disembodied spirits of the dead Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I do feel like I lean more towards them being some sort of hybrid creature that still exists today, whether it is like Nephilim type creature or a chimera with an animal mixed in, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. It is an interesting conversation to have.
I forgot who was saying it. I listened to one podcast, maybe it was Tim Alberino. And he was talking about, like, isn't it kind of interesting that the grays are typically presented with these gigantic eyes, which would almost make you believe that they don't live where there's a lot of light. You know what I mean? Like they need bigger eyes. And I think that there's the one thing that people usually get wrong about a lot of the alien encounters or even like the UFO sightings. Nobody sees them come down from outer space.
Yeah.
Like nobody sees them enter the atmosphere and they're already here. So the real question is where do they come from?
They come in.
I mean, they're
the
UFOs
ground.
They're UFOs not because they're from outer space. They're UFOs because we can't identify them. You just see some strange thing.
Yeah.
Is it possible? And I do believe that things that are probably in the earth are alien to us.
Yeah.
So like what's down there? Obviously, I know that's biblical, is that there's things that are in the earth. I mean, obviously you have all these mythologies about these, you know, vast cave systems, and obviously we know Sheol's down in the earth, and we have like that a lot of the giants like had megaliths and caves and stuff. Like, is it possible that weird things we don't know about come out of the earth? Certainly. I mean, like, obviously it would be kind of arrogant to say, like a lot of science would say, is, oh, we know everything. Mm-hmm. This place is so vast, and I think the more you start to peel back the onion, you realize there's a lot of things we don't know.
Yep.
But I think more than anything, I do believe certain people know. And I think, like, once again, we're being lied to about this stuff for a reason.
Yep. No, I agree with that too. And I think that, yes, I could totally say that it's probably either like under the ground, you know, we know there's deep underground military bases going on, but also, like, what are your thoughts on a thinning of the veil to where it's literally like a different dimension. Like, it is the supernatural that they are like just appearing because they are a part of the supernatural, but then it appears to us in the physical. I don't know. I've kind of thought about that as well.
Well, I guess what we do talk about this in ancient angels is the fact that, like, a lot of these kind of alien sightings, alien encounters, especially when it's like people are interacting with them, these things are not necessarily new. They're new when they're being called aliens and they're presented as like ET and, you know, all the things we see in the movies. But like, it wasn't that long ago in man's history that they were calling them fairies, or they're calling them like leprechauns, like strange little creatures that kind of just creep into people's houses. You know, like real wicked things about saying like they steal children. Like the story, like Peter Pan is similar to that, where it's like, you know, pan pipes, like Pan the deity. And then you have the fairy comes into the room first, takes children to Never Never Land. And, you know, just strange things where, like, is that an alien encounter told from a different perspective? Yeah. And so, like, and that's the thing. It's like I said, it's very hard to pin this down without, you know, cause there's not a lot of evidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do believe for certain that people are seeing things. Like, I don't doubt that for a minute, but we also know that I think obviously angels can materialize and they can show up physically. Yeah. You know, we don't really know how demons could do it, but it is interesting. Brian talked to, I think he talked to a geneticist, and he was asking them, like, could you mix these two kind of animals and make, like, what do you say? Like a bat and like a lizard and make like a dragon. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yes and no. They can kind of, they could make something, they could combine these two, like, embryo, you know, two bits of these animals to create like an embryo, but it could never really get to the point where it could like live. And so I guess that's like, technically, is it possible that they could make some kind of a flesh suit, something that a demon could inhabit? Because like what he was saying, and this seems likely, you know, God gives us breath, you know. God is the life in us. So he's not just letting them just play mad science and just making things live. You know, like that's the power God has, is to give life to things. Yeah. So is it possible that something that's undead could inhabit that? And I think that, It's fascinating idea, because I do think that, I mean, I think you'd have to be very cynical to say everybody who sees these things is making it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. I think that people are seeing stuff. There's so much coming out too right now that it's just fascinating. But okay, so let's kind of dive into the story of Genesis 6. People love to hear about this. It is interesting. It explains a lot of what we are dealing with, I think, in today's world. And, you know, just everything that has happened with this seed war, per se, which the seed war started in Genesis 3. But why don't we start out with, like, just the basics, in case people are new to this understanding, and kind of take it from there, because it's always fun to talk about.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, obviously, without, you know, with the 30,000 foot view, is basically that at some point, the watchers, and it's interesting, watchers are angels. They're sons of God. So I guess you could call them the watchers, the angels, or the sons of God. Yeah. You know, so watchers typically comes from, like, First Enoch. But the watchers are actually mentioned in the book of Daniel as well. So that's biblical, guys. So, like, sometimes people say that they're not called that. And it's interesting, they're called the watchers, almost like it kind of, there's a comic book character called the Watcher, and he's not supposed to interfere with men. He's very powerful. And it's like, It's kind of interesting, like, that, like, this is this idea where they were supposed to kind of maybe protect man. Maybe they were supposed to do, they had certain duties to do, but they were not supposed to interfere. Yeah. And obviously they've interfered pretty well by obviously having wives of the daughters of men. Yep. And then when, you know, so obviously we don't really know how angels had, you know, had relations with women, but they did. We know they lusted after them based on what the book of Enoch says. And then they had a race of hybrids who were called the Nephilim. You know, some translation that means they're called giants directly. But, you know, so you have this partially divine being in kind of like a mortal body, mm-hmm. which is, like, I guess, you know, angels can be both physical and spirit, but they're eternal. And that's we talk a little about that, the Eternals.
Yeah.
Like, is a Marvel movie, a Marvel comic.
Yep.
And again, it's the same story. These beings who were supposed to not interfere with man, but then obviously they interjected themselves into our history, and they changed everything. Mm-hmm. And so, like, as somebody who, like I said, was sitting in the pews for years and never hearing any of this stuff, we really never understood why God decided to destroy the whole earth. I mean, other than just saying people were really bad. Well, obviously it was more than that, you know, because people were really bad when he sent his son to die for everyone.
Yeah. People are really bad right now.
Right. Well, really bad is a matter of perspective, right? Yeah. Like, we don't know how bad they were. Of course, if you read in the First Enoch, it was more than really bad. People were, you know, these were like cannibalistic giants.
Yep.
Like, basically, it was almost like typical, you know, like similar to Matthew 24, when it says that if the Son of Man did not return, there'd be no flesh left. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, like, in the story of Noah, God saved him because he was pure in his generations. Like I said, if you don't know what that means, it doesn't mean he was perfect. It means he was a righteous man. But also, he was human. I mean, it's hard to believe, but I mean, that's literally in there. He was pure in his generations. What does that mean? It means he was pure in his generations from Adam. And he didn't have a you know, one of the watchers from the book of Enoch mixed in into his family tree.
Yep. Isn't that crazy with that story of the amount of people, quote unquote people, on the earth in that day, that there were eight, like Noah and his family, that was it.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
it does get a little scary when you think about, like, well, how many people are going to be left when this is all said and done this time?
Yeah, I know.
it might not be that many.
Oh goodness. So I mean, this is kind of like skipping ahead of, you know, off of the story of Genesis 6, but do you think that there are Nephilim creatures walking the earth today? Okay, I want to just pause this episode real quick to invite you to the 2023 Rooted Conference. On November 3rd and 4th, we will be hosting our first ever conference in Phoenix, Arizona, and we would love to get to know you. Our topic this year is how to live in modern day Babylon as a believer. In today's world, what are you doing to store up treasures in heaven? How are you occupying for the kingdom of God while living in what feels like modern day Babylon? As Christ followers, we are called to be salt and light in the dark world while advancing the kingdom. We do that first by understanding and truly knowing Scripture. So are you committed to being in the Word of God daily? Join us for the Rooted Conference as we dig in to what it means to occupy while living in enemy territory, all while speaking truth in love. Join myself, Amy, Eyes on the Right, Lori, Remnant Rising, and Dr. Laura Sanger as we dive into these biblical truths for an amazing weekend. You can check it out and all the information at www.therootedtruth.com/retreat. You can also check the show notes of this episode and the link will be there. We hope to meet you in person November 3rd and 4th, 2023.
I think that probably to some degree, I think this is an interesting, this is just from my perspective is like, okay, so you have like Greek mythology, right? We always think like, okay, so if an angel had sex with a woman, he'd create this giant. But like, it's kind of funny how like, there are certainly demigods in Greek mythology that are not, they're not ever described as being very tall or very, they were somehow better than, you always think like the idea, oh, he had a body, this person's got a body like a Greek god. They look just like regular men. So it's almost like, were they all giant in like in height and in weight and everything? Or some of them, were they giant in stature, where they were mighty men? They were, they were the people who were, you know, basically the best people out there, the heroes, you know? And so I believe this for sure. The bloodlines are still around. There's bloodlines of Nephilim. Now, I think that like through the stories of the Nephilim, you can imagine like at some point they're pretty far removed from the divine lineage. So you could imagine obviously how people, you know, family trees, eventually you're going to be pretty far away from whatever that angel was who started. Now, are angels still having sex with women? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I guess the truth is like, I think that there's certainly remnants of it. Mm-hmm. And to what degree, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. With the bloodlines. So what's your take on the theory of the Rh negative bloodline being like a Nephilim bloodline?
Well, I think it's interesting. We, and Brian and I have talked a lot about just like the different genetic, you know, tracers from these things. And that's what he talks about that in ancient angels is that, like the 23andMe test, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like that people are trying to like get a tracers back to see if they can find some of this stuff. What I find interesting, again, so when you start talking about science, I've seen certain articles and they start talking about like this Neanderthal DNA and you're like, okay, so, and then there's these different kinds of people that were called like the Denisovans and they're kind of these prehistoric people and you're like, okay, wait a minute. When you start to see some of the skulls and stuff and you're just like, well, is it possible that is some kind of a lineage to giants? Yep. Because you know that science is not going to say giants are real.
Yeah.
And, and I actually saw a very interesting TikTok or reel on Instagram. And the guy was basically saying, so the mainstream science will talk about, they'll discover all these ancient bones and they'll either be dinosaur bones or they'll be bones of Neanderthals or something else.
Yep.
And, but what seems likely to me is that the reason they're dinosaur bones now is because for one, obviously they try to say mythology is just untrue stories. Mm-hmm. When I think the more you read, you know, the more you look into this, mythology came from some true place. It doesn't mean it's true. Yep. It means it came from a place of truth.
Yeah.
You know, could be distorted like a game of telephone, if you think.
Yep.
So like, if they find these big bones, they find these strange bones, they would have to start saying, wait a minute, that's the bone of a giant man. And so if they start talking about giant men, they would have to start talking about the Bible.
Yep.
And if they start talking about the Bible, they would have to start talking about how did giants come about? Mm-hmm. And then they'd start talking about fallen angels. Mm-hmm. And if you really think about it, if we believe what the Bible says is true, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, the cosmic powers. they are ruling this place and they don't want you to know that they're ruling this place. Yep. And the people who are obviously working under them, you know, I think in Ephesians 2, it talks about that the devil works through the sons of disobedience. And yep. So it's like, so they're saying, no, don't talk about us. You can't ever mention us. And so, like, I think that's why people don't know. And I think to me, it's like, that is the conspiracy, I believe, with every bit of me now. Like, I love that. There's one clip I saw, I took from some cartoon, and the guy was saying, oh, he believes in conspiracies. And he's like, not conspiracies, conspiracy. Like, the conspiracy about how this place is really run and how we don't really know about, like, again, like our true history, because, you know, the devil doesn't want us to know about him.
Yeah. And I feel like what every conspiracy you could probably link back to that this one of Genesis mm-hmm. 6. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, really, because it's all linked in together with these elites, like Satan worshipers, like probably get taken down for hate speech, like we were just talking. Yeah. But you know what yeah. I mean? Like everything that is hidden from us seems to be linked back to Genesis 6 and where it came from the origin of it and the seed war of Genesis 3.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the thing when like everyone always says it's all connected and they all get all bug eyed, but like,
yeah,
it is. It really is. Yeah. And if you're a Christian, yep. you should believe it's all connected, because what do you think? Like, what do you think this place is? Like, well, obviously the Bible's telling you that obviously God's the creator of all things, and obviously he's reconciling us to him through Jesus Christ. And then meanwhile, the devil is trying to pull everybody away from it. But again, the devil works like through a set of parameters that God has allowed him to do certain things and not allowed him to do certain things. So God had created this place with an order, and what they're trying to tell you, what they tell you all the time, everything is just random chance. That's how they say the universe got created. You know, we don't believe that. So if you believe that eventually one day this place is going to have a one world government, a one world religion, it's going to be ruled by one man. If you believe that, well, obviously that's a big conspiracy, right? Like, that's a pretty massive conspiracy. And the only way that actually could happen, again, that's when people say like, well, how could men control all that? Men couldn't control all that. But if they had a little help from the demonic, from the yeah. powers above.
Yeah.
Well, now you understand, like, okay, so now you're talking about knowing your adversary a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like being vigilant about yeah. this stuff.
Yeah. And it would be God allowing that to happen, because God's the one who puts kings in place and takes them down. We know from the book of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar and all of that. But yeah, I mean, I love that this topic is being talked about. I'm not going to say mainstream, because it's not, but it's more and more, at least like mm-hmm. on social media, and people are craving for it. And luckily I have some amazing, a team of amazing pastors at my church. And one of them did a sermon a few weeks ago on the unseen realm and talked about this.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
talked good. About like, okay, the sons of God, here are the two views. People say that it's the sons of Seth. You know, this is what this means. Here's why I don't believe it. Like debunk, debunk, debunk. And then, mm-hmm. You know, this is good. The supernatural part of this, of these, the Elohim, you know, these created beings in God's counsel, these angels, because the term angels can mean so many different things too. And that's yeah. been something mm-hmm. like over the past couple of years too. I was like, wow, like whenever I thought angels, I thought just one, like one thing in my head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but it really does mean, I mean, there's prophecy in the Bible that too, where it says angels, it's talking about like messengers, like men, like yeah. actual mm-hmm. people too. And so, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's just really cool to see that being talked about. And what I loved that my pastor said was that, hey, as a Christian, if you can believe that God sent his only son to be born of a virgin, supernatural, right?
right.
To die this gruesome death, be buried, be raised from the dead in 3 days, supernatural. So you can believe these things. You believe he's coming back, but yet you close your minds off to this supernatural over here, but yet you'll believe in this. Like you can't pick and choose. There is a supernatural world, and we can't see it. I think that we get glimpses of it here and there. And yes, I do think the veil is thinning between the physical and the supernatural right now, but it's just really interesting how some people just get so closed off to this. I was saying,
if you think about it, like when Paul says that if Satan can appear as an angel of light, of course I often use that verse to say, hey, look how Thor's presented.
Yeah.
You know, if he can appear as an angel of light, it should be no great wonder when he can appear as a minister of righteousness in your own church. Like, and I think that's why, like, because a lot of churches are saying, they're telling you reasons not to believe this stuff. When I can't remember who said it, but they were saying, well, what would you consider the greatest miracle in the Bible? What would you consider the greatest miracle?
The greatest miracle? I would probably say Jesus raising himself from the dead, or, you know, raising the dead. But I don't know.
this guy's answer was, and I guess it's hard to argue with him, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you believe in a God who created all these things, is there anything too hard to believe that's in there? I mean, you're talking about like something we can't wrap our heads around, you know, but it really is. True. It's like, I think the reason people can believe the story of Jesus, obviously for one, it's true. For two, it's acceptable to believe it.
You
grow up in an age where it's acceptable to believe this stuff. Obviously the first people believed it were crazy.
That's true.
You know, like they were conspiracy theorists. Remember, they were trying to the Pharisees trying to say, no, they stole his body. They just hit him. He's really not alive.
So true.
But now it's like those things are acceptable to believe. And I think there's a lot of things in the Bible now that people are coming around to where I don't care if you say I'm stupid for believing it. Yeah. Like, I really don't care if you think I'm crazy for believing it. Actually, praise God that you do, because God said that woe to those when all men speak well of you.
Yep.
Like, so I'm okay being crazy for believing what God said at this point. And so, like, to me, I think the reason people have such a craving for wanting to know more about this stuff, for one, like I said, our true history is way more interesting. You know, like, history in school is so boring. Like, obviously, I don't know how many people say, like, I hated history class.
Yep, that was
But
me.
when you have an opportunity to research history on your own, you think, like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. There's so many things to learn from history. And I think inherently, and I know speaking to me specifically, when I found out like the heroes of old, the men of renown, and like I started to make the connections between like Greek mythology. And the funny thing, Greek mythology is actually way more recent than the stuff that's in the Bible. You know, I think that a lot of Greek mythology is copied from the Bible.
And they will fight you on that, though. I've gotten a couple comments recently where they are like fighting me on that, of saying this came about way before the Bible was even written. So,
well,
why don't you fix that for us?
Well, the interesting parts about it is, like, obviously, if you read from the books of the prophets, well, obviously, just think about the captivity. Well, obviously, Babylon was first, and then Persia was next, and then the Greeks. So, I mean, like, so by the time the Greeks kind of had the rule of this place, just think about how much had happened biblically.
That's true.
You know, just because some of the manuscripts were like found later doesn't mean the stories are not old. And it also doesn't mean that the people in Greece didn't know that God's prophets were legit. And I think that was the cool thing I just read recently, was like the people in Egypt, and obviously like a lot of the Greeks got their knowledge from the Egyptians. The Egyptians knew there was a God in Israel. They knew the prophets were legit. They knew better than almost anybody that God was real.
So
you can imagine them taking, like, what the devil would do. He would take parts of God's story and twist it a little bit. Oh, that's not Samson. That's Hercules. That's my guy.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's what happened. Even like Apollo. Have you ever noticed that, like, a statue of Apollo and the statue of David almost looks exactly the same?
Mm.
You know, Apollo is like this. He's this sun god, and he's kind of a god of youth. You know, so think about David killing Goliath when he was a young man.
Yeah,
he's also musical. He's also a prophet.
Wow,
King David. You know, he's like a warrior prophet, musician. And it's like that, those attributes from, you know, from a man with God, after God's own heart, is turned into like a basic version of Satan, you know, like a sun god. But no, what I was saying is like, I think inherently, like when I started to make the connections that there were heroes of old, like these, like the mythologies had truth to them, I thought that makes a lot more sense that people are still talking about these stories. Because if they weren't true to some extent, no one would care anymore. You wouldn't make you would never put statues of imaginary things here, right? After all this time. Because it's funny, in one sense, they talk about the Greeks and the Romans believing in these completely fictional characters. But then they establish the society based on the Greeks and the Romans, and then put up statues of those same gods here. And you're like, okay, well, why are you doing that?
Yep.
Because I think, like, once again, I think that they'd believe too. Because obviously you wouldn't put up a statue of, like, I don't know, a favorite fictional movie character you had, because it would be silly.
Well, I mean, let's be real. Some people actually do that. So. Well,
no, but the interesting part about that is again, the more you go down the rabbit hole, and of course, like a lot of the content I make, like on, you know, like TikTok and Instagram, I'm the guy who like watches movies and I'm like, I know this story.
Yeah.
Like I said, it came from some version of the mythologies. And obviously then we know that the mythologies go back to Genesis 6. They go back to the book of Enoch. These are these same stories where the gods came down and they actually had compassion on men and they helped them out. Yep. You know, it's almost like these superheroes were helping man out. But then you start to look into like who the bad guy is in these movies. And he's usually he's the one who's in control over the superheroes. And he's this guy who's all about the rules, and he's kind of really harsh, and he's got no compassion. And you're like, wait a minute. That's how they're describing our God. And what they're really doing is this is a Gnostic view where they flip the story on its head. The serpent's the good guy. The God who tells them not to eat the tree from the tree of knowledge is the bad guy. Yep. So again, like, so knowledge is going to save you, but we know that's not true. Knowledge does not save you. Jesus Christ does. God's grace saves you, you know, but like that's the Gnosticism is they value knowledge over everything. And again, tree of knowledge of good and evil. That doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus does.
Literally like nothing new under the sun. That's the lie from the very beginning. In the garden. Like, yeah, it is really interesting to kind of see how these like mythologies and like Zeus, you know, what does he line up with? Would you say that, like, okay, so take Zeus, is he a fallen angel or a Nephilim?
I believe that Zeus is, this is my view. And I think I've told you this before. So what I believe is, so you had the first incursion of the washers.
Yes.
Right. And so they come in, obviously corrupt man seed, but obviously the worst of those were like chained up under the Euphrates, and they're done. They're done till judgment day. They're let out for a time, then they get judged, thrown into like a fire. But the original prophecy, the very first prophecy in the Bible is that the seed of Eve is going to crush the head of the serpent seed. Okay, so who's the serpent seed? Because the serpent seems like he's still loosed in, you know, in the New Testament, because he's not bound up until the millennial reign, right? And he's not let out for a short time. So you think about it, like, what I came to the conclusion was that, like I said, it says in Genesis 6:4, it says the Nephilim in those days and also afterwards, when the sons of God came to judgment. So it's like, to me, the literal reading of that is they did it again. And so like, so you had this kind of pantheon of gods before the flood. You know, they kind of talk about them being the old gods. Even the Greek mythology talks about the Titans that were locked up under the earth. And then you have, but after the flood, I believe this is like the story kind of Nimrod, you have like this kind of unholy trinity where you have a father who comes from the sky, then you have like a somewhat you had a divine female, and then you have the son of the sky god who's very similar.
Yeah.
And so it's my contention that is the son of the devil. Like, I believe that Nimrod was literally like son of the devil. And so like in the story of like Apollo's like two-thirds divine, where it's like his father, Zeus, is divine, is like the head of the gods. And then his mom is like partially divine. You know, so he's mostly a god. And so my contention is that is the devil. Zeus is the devil. Thor is the devil. Like that is like who you would call the serpent, you know, the serpent from the garden, the dragon. And it's funny because Brian and I actually, you know, who we did the documentary with, he disagrees with me on that. But
oh, really?
I guess that's the thing. Yeah, he doesn't think that they did it again like that. You know, he thinks like it was right. A genetic thing. He thinks it's a genetic thing, but the way I read it and understand it, you know, obviously we can have disagreements about these kind of things, is the devil knows the prophecy. So I think that like, so was he in any danger of being locked up and thrown under, you know, like Euphrates too? I guess possibly, but I think it was like a gamble he was willing to take, because it's kind of like, what other options does he have?
Mm-hmm.
He can't, like, he cannot beat God in a fight. So what he really can, the only thing he can really do is corrupt men. And he was trying to do the plan again. And I guess, I think he gambled it. And I believe that's why you have all these storm god mythologies. Mm-hmm. And it's like Baal was a storm god. I think Dagon was a storm god. So Zeus is a storm god. And, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, Zeus, Thor, all of them, same being. And that's why like the lightning bolt symbol, you know, is symbolic of, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this beautiful angel who got cast down to earth. And
yeah,
seems likely to me.
So interesting. It really is. I'm with you because I've looked into all the different theories of how giants were on the earth after those days as well. And I tend to lean more towards something at the Tower of Babel happened because they built a tower to reach God's throne. They were trying to take over the throne. And we know that, you know, it says in Ezekiel that Lucifer was doing, you know, trying to do that as well. I think Ezekiel, is it Ezekiel or Isaiah?
Well, no. This is the conclusion. This is how I came to this conclusion, that Ezekiel or Isaiah 14 talks about Lucifer. But Lucifer, like I said, I always tell people, Lucifer is just a translation of morning star, son of the dawn.
Yes.
And if you read Isaiah 14, if you carefully read it, that is the only divine description of this man, you know, because he's described as a man. He's also called, it's also a taunt to the king of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, at first, I think the it's about Nebuchadnezzar, and then it becomes about, like, you know, just like Ezekiel 28 is about the king of Tyre.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it's like, and eventually starts talking about, and that's what I believe is the real devil. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 28 is so different, where it's like this anointed cherub. He was the signet of perfection in his wisdom. Yeah. He had he was adorned with all these jewels. He was in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
What you don't have in Isaiah 14 is any discussion about the garden, serpent. He's not described as that. He's what he's described as a man who was like a warrior, conquered people. But it was like, and so what I took from that was, he was trying to ascend his throne above the stars of God, not God himself, but the stars of God. So think about this, the Tower of Babel. If this was about Nimrod, he's building a tower up to heaven. And he's like, and that's when he was saying, you think you'll ascend your throne up to the heavens? No, you're going to be taken down to the pit, down to Sheol. Yeah. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Is that because I went all the way from Revelation 9, where it talks about an angel opening the bottomless pit and letting out Apollyon, Abaddon.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, well, if Satan can't be letting Satan out of the pit, you know, so it's like, I believe that like the devil looses Abaddon, Apollyon, which is the same character, Nimrod, Apollo. Like I said, he's got many names. So then the dragon gives his authority over to the beast that comes out of the pit. Like I said, there's a verse about this being sent to the pit.
Yeah.
I think it's the same being. And I think that Lucifer is a man. And I think that the cherub from the Garden of Eden that's the devil.
Yeah.
That's his father. Yeah. That's my belief. And I said, I know that people can have different interpretations, but I really do think that the only reason people really think that, well, not the only reason, but the main reason people think that Lucifer is the devil is because there was a book written called Paradise Lost, and it says that, you know, mm-hmm. so like a lot of things that people believe about angels, the devil, you know, God himself, are, it's like these traditions of like, it's like a game, like a telephone. People just like, they're church traditions that people believe. But that's what I said. When you start reading your Bible yourself, you're like, well, where is that? And you're like, it doesn't really say what you say. But everyone always says that Satan was like the devil was the choir master in heaven. It's like, it does not say that. It's like, it literally never says that. And you're like, where did they get that from? People just take inferences. And obviously people say, yeah, that's good. Let's go with that.
Yeah. So interesting. I mean, it shows you right there. You have to read the Bible for yourself and you have to pray about it, ask the Holy Spirit to show you and let scripture mm-hmm. interpret scripture. Use scripture to help, you know, like you're reading like, oh, where else is this talked about? And so use like resources. I use the Blue Letter Bible app a ton for understanding of the Hebrew or the Greek words and, you know, where that is referenced in other parts of the Bible. And so, I mean, people need to start doing that. And I think people are, and it's waking people up. Yeah. So tell us where people can go watch this, the Ancient Angels, where they can watch it, and as well as where they can find you.
Well, the first place, if you want to go see the movie, it's ancientangelsmovie.com, and you can rent it or you can buy it on Vimeo. And so I think that's the easiest place to get it. If you want to follow me, I'm JT Follows JC, and I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. I'm on Rumble. I would say YouTube, but I said I'm in a little salty with YouTube right now. But if you go like pretty much to any one of my profiles, I have a link tree, and Ancient Angels is the top link. But yeah, ancientangelsmovie.com. And yeah, I'm on, like I said, I'm on all the basically all the social media apps, and probably the best place to interact with me is obviously where Jenny and I met was Instagram. Because I do a lot of stuff on there now.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming back on. Is there anything you want to like kind of conclude and leave with the listeners about anything that we talked about today?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just think that, again, like that's why where I learned a lot of this stuff was straight from the Bible, you know? So like that, it's like you check, please do me a favor. Before you just believe somebody, ask them where they found that. And then obviously if they found it someplace besides the Bible, then you have to check that source versus the Bible. And I think that that's the thing, is like, the cool thing is when you actually start to understand some of these things in the Bible, you can pick them out and then you can understand more. And then guess what? It's not a chore to read your Bible. It's a treasure. Yeah. There's so many good things in there. And I think that the best thing about it is, we're going to read it our whole lives and we're going to learn new things all the time. And I think that's what I encourage everyone to do, because I like to tell people that no matter what conspiracy you find, you could know all the conspiracies, but what you really need to find is Jesus. And that's what the Bible is really about. So like, make sure you have the truth when you go searching in the dark. So that's my main leave you guys with that. If you take anything away from that, read your Bible, find Jesus for real.
Yeah, I love that. And it's funny you say that too, because we are starting to study Jesus in every book, to where we're going through every book of the Bible and like where there's Jesus, and he was in the beginning, right? He was there from the beginning. So I love that. Well, JT, as always, thank you for hopping on with me. And if you're listening, go check out the movie, support JT and Brian, rent it, buy it, whatever, watch it. It's really, really good. It's two parts and I just highly, highly recommend it. So JT, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. And God bless everyone.